Steve in Washington.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. It looks like Nigeria will be without top striker Victor Osimhen for the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which begins in just over 6 weeks in Cameroon. The Italian club Napoli announced Tuesday Osimhen will be sidelined 3 months after surgery on his cheekbone and eye socket. The 22-year-old Osimhen suffered fractures in a clash of heads Sunday with Inter Milan Slovak defender Milan Skriniar. Inter Milan defeated Napoli 3-2. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria, Fisayo Dairo.
It is a devastating piece of news and a huge blow, not only to Nigeria's Super Eagles and their chances of doing well at the Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon, but also to the AFCON tournament itself, because that tournament is designed at showcasing the best of African exports to Europe. And I dare say that at the moment, Osimhen is perhaps the most complete center forward of African origin we have, and nobody can underestimate the work he has done with Napoli and with every good thing the club has done in this Serie A this season. So it is definitely a cruel blow to Nigeria's Super Eagles and to his club, Napoli. And the news, as shocking as it is one Nigerian fans have not really woken up to. And to an extent, they hope, against hope, that perhaps Osimhen will make a miraculous recovery that we see him to play at that competition, because he only got to start in one AFCON game. That's 2 years ago in Egypt, the third place game, which Nigeria won by a lone goal. And then this time around, he's been a first choice striker. He's been banging goals, scored 4 in the qualifiers. To have him out of the competition is definitely a huge blow.
What are other options left for the Super Eagles in the absence of Victor Osimhen, who is Nigeria's leading goal scorer with 4 goals in the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers?
Like we all know, it's part of the game of football. Injuries here and there, suspensions here and there. So the team must continue. In the absence of Victor, there are a number of strikers that have been with the team for a couple of years or more, especially under the Franco-German coach, Gernot Rohr, whose future is still up for debate. Paul Onuachu, a tall striker who plays for Genk in Belgium, has always been part of the team. Kelechi Iheanacho, who plays for Leicester City in England, remains to be seen if he can be trusted to deliver the goods. There is Taiwo Awoniyi, who has been scoring for Union Berlin in Germany this season. But one player that has not really played for the team in the past 2 to 3 years now is David Okereke, who is also based in Italy with Venezia. And David has been in a rich vein of form this season as well. He still scored their winning goal in the league last weekend against Bologna. So he might perhaps get a look in this time around. And not forgetting Terry Murphy, who plays in the French Ligue 1 with Lorient. So Nigeria will always have options. Not to forget that Ode Onighadu was recently invited back to the team. He was a top scorer at the last AFCON in Egypt. So we'll see if he will still carry on with the team. So there are plenty of options for the team. Nigeria will never be short of talent or in short of quality players to call on whenever they want to play any major tournament. And I think if Osimhen eventually fails to make it to Cameroon, they have adequate replacement to fill in the vacuum he might have left behind.
Do you think Osimhen will recover and make the team to AFCON 2022?
Well, I'm an unrepentant optimist, so I still retain that small, tiny hope that Victor Osimhen will be fit for that competition. But I wouldn't like to make a fool of myself as well, because his club in Italy has said they're looking at 90 days. Perhaps they've studied carefully the medical reports from the doctors and from the hospitals. So if they say 90 days, we have to resign to fate. And like mentioned earlier on, hope against hope, that with the kind of lion that Osimhen is, he makes a miraculous recovery, and within weeks rather than months, he gets available. But for now, yes, I am optimistic that he might eventually make it, but I'm not foolish enough to put aside the medical report that he's going to be out for 90 days, which rules him after the competition.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria, Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports wish Victor Osimhen a speedy recovery from his surgery. This evening, we continue our preview of the World Athletics Awards, which will be staged as a virtual ceremony on December 1st. The two big awards are the Male and Female Athlete of the Year. The Kenyans Eliud Kipchoge and Faith Kipyegon are finalists, and so is Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei. All three athletes won gold medals at this year's Tokyo Olympics. Kipchoge and Kipyegon both successfully defended their Olympic titles, Kipchoge in the men's marathon and Kipyegon in the women's 1500 meters. The 27-year-old Kipyegon retained her title after becoming a mother in 2018. Meanwhile, another finalist for the Male Athlete of the Year award is Norwegian hurdler Carsten Warholm. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, let's look back on his world record performance at the Tokyo Games on August 3rd. In what's being described as one of the greatest races in athletics history, Norway's Carsten Warholm smashed the men's 400 meters hurdles world record with a time of 45.94 seconds to win the gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. American Rye Benjamin won the silver medal in 46.17 seconds, which was well inside the previous world record of 46.70 seconds set by Warholm in Oslo. And Brazil's Alisson dos Santos won the bronze medal in 46.72 seconds. Here's Carsten Warholm on his world record performance.
It's so crazy, and it's by far the biggest moment of my life. And I told myself going in here today that, you know, this can actually define everything that me and my coach has been working for, all the hours that I put in.
Meanwhile, silver medalist Rye Benjamin describes the thrilling Olympic race.
I was coming. I just ran out of space, but I felt my legs, but like I said, I ran out of real estate, but it's a phenomenal race, you know. This was probably the best race ever in Olympic history. I don't think any other race compares to what we just did.
In the Olympic women's long jump final, Germany's Malaika Mihambo won the gold medal with a leap of 7 meters even. The 27-year-old Mihambo is also the reigning world champion. She was born in Heidelberg, Germany, to a German mother and a Tanzanian father. 2012 Olympic champion Brittany Reese of the USA won the silver medal with a jump of 6 meters, 97. The 34-year-old Reese says the Tokyo Games mark her Olympic goodbye.
This definitely is my last Olympic. And on the competition, it was a great competition. I mean, it's fitting that, you know, I've beaten people on the last jump and I go out getting beaten on the last jump. So it's really cool to be here and watch the next generation of great long jumpers.
Brittany Reese finished tied at 6 meters 97 with Nigeria's Esse Brume, who won the Olympic bronze medal in Tokyo. But the American Reese won the silver because of her second best jump of 6 meters 95, which was 5 centimeters longer than Brume's effort. The 25-year-old Brume also won a bronze medal at the 2019 World Championships in Doha, but this is her first Olympic medal. Another Nigerian athlete, Enoch Adegoke, ran in Sunday's final of the men's 100 meters race, but could not finish because of a hamstring injury. I'll get back to Enoch, but first, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the surprise winner of the men's 100 meters, the Italian Lamont Marcel Jacobs. He won the gold medal in 9.80 seconds in the post-Usain Bolt era, and his victory set off celebrations in Italy. But getting back to Enoch Adegoke, his coach is Ayokunle Odeluse. And in an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the coach said he's proud of Enoch's Olympic performance in Tokyo.
I'm very happy that Enoch was able to make the finals in the Olympic Games in Tokyo. I'm very happy. It's what every coach would wish for. And, you know, for your hard work, your training preparation for competitions and bringing results, it's a great thing. I am really, really happy for the results. Yeah, and Enoch is also very, very happy. Yeah, and that's it. He also happens to have a personal best in the Olympic Games when he did the heat.
For how long have you been coaching Enoch Adegoke?
I've been coaching Enoch for about 6 years now. And Enoch is an athlete, a very rare athlete like most of my athletes there in OAU. Is very disciplined and dedicated towards training. You can rely on that. And he really had, you really have this motivation and the drive to achieve and, you know, strive for more. I believe Enoch would, as we have a new plan, we want to bring the African record back to Nigeria. So, I mean, yeah, he has the prospect to do better than that in future.
We understand you could not travel to Tokyo for the Olympic Games. What happened? Now, how did you coach Enoch while in Japan?
Yeah, I wasn't able to go to the Olympics. The thing is, Enoch was told that my accreditation wasn't ready when he got his own accreditation. And when the list came out, my name happens to come out as a personal coach for Enoch, which I really don't... I can't say much about. I wasn't put in the list of coaches. I was put in the list of a personal coach. And they told Enoch that my accreditation is being worked on. When Enoch's travel ticket was sent to him when he was with me in Germany to train for the Olympics, the accreditation wasn't sent with it. It was just the travel ticket to Tokyo. And as you know, it's not possible for you to just take an air ticket to the airport that you want to travel without an accreditation for the games. And knowing fully well the situation, the corona situation, I mean, it's a bit, it's stricter than before. So, I mean, and up till the competition started, the accreditation wasn't ready. And as I could understand, Enoch was being told till the last minute that the accreditation is being worked on, and it never came. That's what I understand about the accreditation thing. I mean, it's painful. Where the job of a coach starts, it's where Enoch got to the finals. He needs someone that will be there for him to boost his morale psychologically, because the body is tired at that point. As you can see, it reflects even in everything most of the athletes, you know, did during the final. That's where the job of a coach started. And, you know, it's actually painful that nobody was on ground to even just tell him after the injury that happened to just walk through, you know? I mean, this is the first time he's having a situation like that he got injured and he couldn't even finish the race. And it would have been a bit better when someone just out of, you know, the people there, I mean, the coaching crew actually, to just, you know, find a way to signal to him or, you know, call his attention or something for him to just walk through the finish line, we would have earned him a point. Yeah, I mean, he happens to be in the Olympics, but we shouldn't forget he's not as experienced as most of these athletes he ran with. Yeah, well, in all, we are very satisfied with the competition. He did really, really well, and I'm proud of him. And to all other athletes that couldn't compete, it's sad and it's unfortunate. We believe in them as well. We believe if they were given the opportunity, they would do even very well as Enoch did. I mean, I believe and I pray things change in the future.
That's Ayokunle Odelusi, the coach of Olympic sprinter Enoch Adegoke. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Germany.
Sports greetings. This is Ayokunle Odelusi, a Nigerian athletic coach to Enoch Obaluluwa Adegoke. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In European club football, Manchester United is off to a winning start under interim manager Michael Carrick. Man U scored a 2-0 victory against Villarreal in Spain Tuesday to advance to the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League. Cristiano Ronaldo and Jadon Sancho scored late goals for Man U. In the 78th minute, Ronaldo adjusted his feet and lobbed over the goalkeeper for his 140th career Champions League goal. What the heck? I think that deserves a Sunny Side of Sports salute. And in the 90th minute, Sancho scored his first goal for Man U since his $100 million move from Borussia Dortmund. He fired in off the underside of the crossbar at the end of a sweeping counterattack. I'm sure those goals delighted Michael Carrick, who was previously an assistant under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who was fired Sunday. Now, the English Premier League will be well represented in the knockout stage of the UEFA Champions League. Chelsea and Liverpool are also through to the round of 16, and Manchester City is likely to join them.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat both posted victories. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Knicks wasted a 25-point lead before Emmanuel quickly nailed 4 three-pointers in the final period, bailing out New York in a victory over the Lakers, 106-100.
We came out ready to play, and then they made some adjustments. So we knew they were going to be ready to, you know, make that second push. So we just, you know, wanted to withstand that, and, you know, we ended up getting the win, so. Credit to our guys.
Julius Randle added 20 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 assists for the Knicks despite foul trouble. Evan Fournier scored 26 to lead the Knicks.
We have to keep playing the same way. Up 20, you know, down 15, you know, tie game. Like, for us, I think the key is going to be to find that balance and that rhythm, you know. We can be really good, man. We just have to, you know, trust how we play and when we have a way to play, you know, just stay with it.
Russell Westbrook had 31 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists for L.A., which played while LeBron James served a one-game suspension for his altercation in Sunday's win over the Pistons. Tyler Hero had 31 points and 8 rebounds in the Heat's 192 comeback win over the Pistons.
We played sluggish for those first 3 quarters, and we were able to, you know, I was able to make some shots.
Miami trailed by 9 before opening the fourth quarter on a 27-6 run. Hero's back-to-back three-pointers cut the deficit to 77-74. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo each provided 15 points and 9 boards in the Heat's fifth win in 6 games. Kyle Lowry added 15 points, 8 assists, and 6 boards for Miami.
Once we kind of figured it out a little bit and we got a little bit more active, just a little bit more got out of transition, I think going to the fourth quarter, we had like 2 fast break points. Finished in the fourth quarter, so...
Detroit led 53-47 at halftime before finishing 1-4 on its 5-game homestand. Jeremy Grant had 21 points and 7 boards for the Pistons. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Now let's go to Los Angeles, California, where a young Slovenian basketball star has sparked the Dallas Mavericks to a victory in the NBA. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Luka Doncic returned to the Dallas lineup and scored 26 points to help lead the Mavericks to a 112-104 overtime win over the Clippers. Doncic had missed the previous 3 games, all losses, with knee and ankle injuries.
I wanted to play this game really bad, you know, and that's why I got to say the medical staff did a great job. Everybody helped me every day. And we made it happen.
Teammate Kristaps Porzingis added 30 points. LA's Paul George made a corner three at the buzzer to send the game to OT, tied at 103. Reggie Jackson was high man for the Clips with 31 points. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. From Los Angeles, let's go north to Portland, Oregon. That's where the Portland Trailblazers scored a big home victory over the Denver Nuggets. The AP's Bruce Morton reports.
The Trailblazers took control in the second quarter and never looked back in topping injury-riddled Denver 119-100. Portland has won 4 straight and was led by 32 points from C.J. McCollum.
We're making strides each night. You know, I think you can kind of see that, especially at home. We're getting more connected, less breakdowns, and playing a better brand of basketball on both ends.
Losers of 5 in a row, the Nuggets took the floor without 3 key players, including reigning MVP Nikola Jokic, out with a sore wrist. This was a close game until the Blazers closed out the first half with an 18-3 run, good for a 66-52 lead. I'm Bruce Morton.
Thanks, Bruce.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. As I mentioned earlier, Liverpool Football Club is through to the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League tournament. Liverpool will host FC Porto of Portugal this evening in a UEFA Champions League match. And VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with a preview. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Liverpool are the current leaders in Group B of the Champions League. The Reds hold a 7-point lead ahead of second-place Porto, who suffered a 5-1 loss against Liverpool in September. And ahead of Wednesday's second leg, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp told reporters he expects his upcoming opponents to be highly motivated in their return match, due in part to their first round defeat.
The last game especially was really unlucky for Porto. So without the number one center half pairing, early injury in the game, all these kind of things didn't help. We scored in the wrong moments for them, in the right moments for us. So all came together.
Klopp added that Jordan Henderson and Andy Robertson, who have both suffered injuries, will be available for Wednesday's match, but he says their involvement on the pitch will be decided closer to game time.
And we will see. Yesterday, I would say maybe it was not at 100%. So, like, he can play, he can do pretty much everything, but it's about really being at 100% fit. So I thought when he came on against Arsenal, it was a game just to see the game out and controlling a little bit. That was exactly actually what he had to do from a rehab point of view. So he used these few minutes, but now we have to see. I don't know 100%. Robbo's similar. It's both are okay, but are both now ready to play, ready to start with the schedule, with the games coming up. We have to make these decisions. Didn't make the decisions yet, to be honest.
Liverpool hold 12 points from 4 games in Group B and have already qualified for the last 16 in the Champions League. They host Porto ahead of their Saturday home match against Southampton in the Premier League. Liverpool are currently in third place in league standings, 1 point behind reigning European champions Manchester City, who are also set to host their Champions League match on Wednesday. Man City reached their first ever Champions League final back in May, but suffered a 1-0 defeat to Chelsea. And ahead of Wednesday's match against Paris Saint-Germain, Man City midfielder Ilkay Gundogan told reporters his side is determined to return to the Champions League final.
I just think that that game of the final, you know, last season still in our minds, will give us some more motivation, even though it's not needed. But I think that once you was in the final, once you was able to play it, that you always want to go back. I think it's always about, you know, that will to go as far as possible, to do as well as possible. I think it's able to do. We can be able to do it.
Manchester City can reach the last 16 of this season's competition on Wednesday, but manager Pep Guardiola says he must first get through the likes of PSG's Lionel Messi.
Sometimes when he has the ball, he doesn't know what he's going to do. Imagine he has to know what he's going to do. There's one player you can say, no, he's going to right or left. When he has the ball, not even him knows exactly what he's going to do. I cannot tell the player he's going to do. But in the same time, you know, still I'm glad and happy that still he's playing the level he plays and the quality. So would be nice to face him again.
PSG came away with a 2-0 victory against Guardiola's side in September, but Man City have won all of their other games so far. They are currently at the top of Group A with 9 points, just 1 point ahead of PSG. Following Wednesday's match, Man City will return to the Premier League and are set to host West Ham on Sunday. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Meanwhile, Liverpool's dynamic African duo of Mo Salah and Sadio Mane are at the top of the Premier League's goal-scoring chart. Salah has a league-leading 11 goals, while Mane is tied with Leicester City's Jamie Vardy for second-highest score with 7 goals each. We'll be right back. that wraps up the November 24th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.